That's Paul Sakis, Good News Planet, as well as Peace Day Party. I'm speaking to Dr. Arrow I. Buntzman. Hi, Doctor. How are you?
I'm doing well today. How are you?
Okay, really well, thank you. Actually, really well because of you. And I want to say that to everybody. You're the executive director and co-founder of We Can't Have That Foundation, Inc. And we're going to learn about that today. And the reason why you've made our day is that you're going to co-sponsor our Peace Day party event in Times Square on September 21st, along with us, our Good News Corporation. You're a nonprofit and have a wonderful organization doing good for the world. And so I couldn't be any happier. And so thank you very much, Dr. Buntzman.
You're quite welcome. The Peace Day event is a very worthy cause and one that I'm excited to help to sponsor. There's no question that no matter where you are in the world, the thing that you want most for your children is for them to be safe, and the best way for them to be safe is if there's peace in the world.
By far. And peace comes in many different forms and shapes and sizes. And, there's the real, the mean stuff, and then there's just not nice stuff. So we want to be nice and help our brothers and sisters. And I see that you're doing that with your We Can't Have That .org website and what you're doing. You have a lot of different programs. Tell us a little bit about your background, if you wouldn't mind.
No, I don't mind. My background is in both business, education, and entertainment. Now, from the business standpoint, I have an MBA from Arizona State University. I started and grew 10 companies, 8 of them successfully, and was able to take one of them public on the NASDAQ, an educational technology company. In the education side of it, I have a doctorate in education in the executive leadership program at Fordham University. I was chancellor of 3 colleges in New York helped to graduate 7,000 high school dropouts with 2-year college degrees and no debt and a 95% placement rate. I was awarded the Smithsonian Laureate for developing educational technology. In the entertainment area, I produced and co-produced a number of concerts in support of social justice and human rights issues on college campuses to raise scholarships for inner city kids, as well as in theaters in New York, Boston, Pennsylvania, and Florida, and among them the Broadway Palm Theater in Florida and the Apollo Theater in New York.
Wow, we're partners with the Apollo Theater. And they're part of our Peace Day project and have been for many years. A great, great institution. And wow, you have some background. You've done so many wonderful things. You are fully invested into Good News. And give us, how did this all begin with you, if you wouldn't mind? Our mutual friend, Al Smith, shared a little bit about your background with me. And it's, you worked hard to get to where you are. Tell us, your early days. And actually, how come you do this kind of work now in your life? You grew up where? You're a New Yorker, or you grew up where?
I grew up all over the country. My family moved around quite a bit, all over the country and in Mexico, and had the good fortune to experience living in luxury and living in poverty. I say the good fortune because it opened my eyes to the circumstances people are exposed to and and what's important in life. And that's not money. So it helps you to focus on the things that are important. And if you do what you love doing, and if you do things that help other people, I found that it's a recipe for success. So very early on, as Al probably told you, I was a niño trabajador. At 13 and 14, I worked as a migrant farm worker in northwest Mexico and southern California, picking cantaloupe, and started my first business when I was 15 years old.
Oh, my God. What was that business?
It was a motorcycle and automobile repair business. When I was working as a migrant farm worker, the crew bus would pick us up at 6 o'clock in the morning because we were quite a distance from the farms, and it would take us 2 to 2.5 hours to transport each way. But one day I noticed that near the little house that we were living in Southern California, that there was an old motorcycle leaning up against a guy's house, and it hadn't moved, and tires were flat. So I offered to buy it. I offered to remove it if he'd pay me $5. And the guy said he wouldn't, but if I gave him $5, I could have the motorcycle.
You can't make this stuff up. Go on.
No. So I wound up over about a 5-month period saving up the money to buy it and then rebuilding the motorcycle slowly, one part at a time. And then I used that for transportation to go to work. And it only took me 25 minutes instead of 2 to 2.5 hours. And one day the crew chief came over and he said, somebody told me you rebuilt that motorcycle. And I said, yeah. He said, well, I've got a truck that's stuck in the field. And I think it's the starter motor, but I'm not sure. You know how to fix it or replace it? I said, sure. Of course, I didn't know how to do that any more than I knew how to rebuild a motorcycle. But I could look in a book, and I could ask a mechanic, which is what I did. And I took out his starter motor and took it to the auto parts place where they rewound it, and I put it back in. And when he asked me how much I owed him, I told him that the manual says that fair price is for the number of hours, and you owe me for that and the part. He says, okay, well, how much is the part? And I hesitated. So he said, what's the matter? What, don't you know how much the part was? And I said, yeah. If it's rewound, it's X number of dollars. And if it's a new one, it's X plus. He said, well, which was it? I said, well, it was the rewound one. It was the cheaper one. And the guy said, why didn't you tell me it was a new one? I wouldn't have known the difference. And I said, no, but I would have. And he said, well, you're going to get a lot of business. And sure as can be, over the next couple of months, I kept getting calls from people wanting me to fix their truck. And I wound up having mechanic bays in 3 different gas stations with grown-ass men doing most of the work. And that was my first business.
I see a movie. I see a movie here.
There are lots of other good movies that can be done.
Oh, my God. And then from there, I mean, you know.
Well, from there, I went back to school. I had missed 2 years of school, and I went back to school wound up getting my high school equivalency, and because I had dyslexia, so between missing 2 years of school and dyslexia, I had a hard time reading. Then I got lucky and ran into a gentleman that, when he found out I said I couldn't read good, said, "I don't understand. You fixed my Ferrari and nobody else could, you know, at the Ferrari shops, tried three times." I said, "Well, I looked in the manual." He said, "Yeah, but you said you couldn't read good." And I said, "I can't, but I can follow pictures and diagrams and understand things." So he says, "Well," he says, "you know, why do you think you can't read?" And I said, "Well, some people just aren't that smart." And he laughed and he said, "That's not the problem." He said, "I can teach you how to read." So I said, "Okay, well, if you can do that, I'll fix your cars for a year." And within
wow.
3 months, I was reading everything I could get my hands on, and then went back to school and got an associate degree in accounting and got a better job, and then a bachelor's in finance and economics and got a better job. And I said, "I think I might have figured this out."
I think and then, so.
And then I did an MBA at Arizona State. All that time working while going to school full time, married with a kid. Then I worked for 20 years and thought I was going to retire in 1990 and spent a year sailing, and then decided I was bored and wanted to go back to school and to help work in non-traditional education for. And so I did a second master's in education, a professional diploma in educational administration, and then a doctorate in education. And after that, wound up running three colleges and serving as the chancellor.
Oh, my God. And now, today, what are you up to? You got this nonprofit? Is that where a lot of your focus is?
Most of my focus today is in We Can't Have That Foundation. And in another foundation, which I serve as the chairman, called the Immokalee Fair Housing Alliance, which is developing housing for farm worker families that live year-round in Immokalee, Florida, which is near Naples. So between that and the We Can't Have That Foundation, where some of our emphasis there has shifted. We're still supporting computer-assisted learning after-school programs and other human rights initiatives. And now we'll focus on helping you work to spread peace.
Wow. Lucky us. I'm in a goose pimple mode here. Computer assisted learning program with those Immokalee people. Haiti, and he mentioned it, the area most devastated by earthquake. You did some help down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, in Haiti,
too,
We Can't Have That Foundation had an education program in Haiti, and also after their earthquake, we had a program there to restore companies that were pulling water out of the ground that had wells that had been damaged in the earthquakes. So that was our first shift to disaster assistance. And then living in Florida now with the hurricanes, we get involved in disaster assistance in Florida with the support of a lot of faith-based organizations that make donations and thousands of other individuals that make donations to us to help people affected by disaster.
Oh, boy. You're a busy guy, a family man, and someone's getting married soon.
Actually, our youngest son is getting married in New York in the Upper West Side in October. And we'll mm-hmm. be up for that. We're all excited about that. But I tell you, I'm very excited about helping to, you know, co-produce and co-sponsor the International Day of Peace event, your peace party in Times Square. And what I plan to do after we finish doing that is to talk with you and to Al about the possibility of working together with edutainment to put on these concerts regionally throughout the United States and Central and South America. I made some calls today to former chief judge in Mexico, and he's now retired, and threw out the idea to him, and he likes it. And then I called the number two defense attorney and public defender, I should say, in Chile, where we were last month visiting, because my wife did a conference in Chile on prevention of human trafficking and sexual abuse in the workplace. So I called them and told them about the concert here, and the fact that I thought these type of concerts promoting peace and supporting peace and trying to get people to let their elected officials know that they want peace should happen around the world.
Oh, boy. Oh, am I crazy about you? You know, one of the things, you know, we were just meeting, you know, just today, first phone call and so on and so forth. But I will say, you know, first of all, the International Day of Peace has a strong foundation. It's actually started in 1984 at the United Nations. It was reinvigorated in 2002 with a new resolution and a lot more support. And 193 countries raised their hands and said, we're on board and we will acknowledge. And at 12 noon, we will do our best to get a ceasefire in our countries. So when the McKinsey company research firm says they think it's 1.6 billion people are aware of the International Day of Peace. So there's some strength behind the event. There are events happening all around the world on September 21st, which is good news. The more events, the merrier. I'm a believer in. I know our company, we've been involved since 2002. Actually, we have something in Central Park. We've been involved in producing and hosting as hosts. And so it's all good. One of the things that we did that you might not even know yet, because we're just really saying hello now, is that one of the hearts of our show, and if you go to our website, you'll see maybe 50 organizations that are doing peaceful work. And what we do is we include those organizations to prove the fact that millions of people working peacefully. In my mind, there's just a few that aren't. And so we want to strengthen that message, a message that of hope, and the message even more than that, the message of action. The most of the world are people are doing good, and they're helping each other, are not bothering anybody. And so David Lynch teaching kids in a school where they have shot some people how to do meditation, or Harlem Globetrotters going into a school and teaching them self-esteem, and so many other organizations that are doing good. And those inserts we put into a video, into the show, into the movie, because that's the heart of it matter, you know, to show the good happening. And it's an upbeat. It's not a downbeat. The peace is here. Even on that same land that we do our Peace Day concert, I did the 20th anniversary of Woodstock. And that same spot was Richie Havens, who talked only about peace, love, and hope. And Jumla, also Sultan, who will be performing on this Saturday, and talking about unity. And they also felt very strong and do feel strong about world peace, and that most of the world lives in peace. And I think, I don't know, Dale Carnegie, you have that MBA, you know, said you get a lot more from sugar than you get from salt. If you're complaining about everything all the time, it's pretty, you already started off kind of down on it all. But if you start to go, this is being done, and this is positive, and these people are helped like you. You're a guy who goes into their scenarios and situations that are difficult. Now, people could, you know, wallow in the difficulty of the situation, But you're giving hope, and you're actually, it's not just the word hope, you're giving action with the hope. So I think that that's why I'm so excited to have you involved with this. I'm sorry I'm talking a lot, but what you do is perfect as a partner. I'd be honored to do any kind of project you want to do. I'm in, period.
Well, thank you. I'd be honored to work with you also.
What
you're doing is great.
All right. Well, we're going to do a nice show. New York's an interesting town to do these shows. Got a lot of people involved with them. Sometimes not so easy, I will say. you've made some schools here. You know, New York's a lot of people. We have more people working in New York than there have people living in Rhode Island.
Absolutely.
Those are New York City employees. So everybody has a job, so it could be tiring. You've got to have a lot of guts to keep going. But we have a lot of good things in place and a lot of great talent, magnificent talent that are going to be part of this party. And so it's all good. Dr. Bunceman, you want to add anything more before I'm going to ask you, what does peace mean to you?
No, I'm just sorry I won't be able to be up there for the 21st, but I'm looking forward to watching the streaming of it and the video. And when I'm up in October, I'd like to get together with you and we can figure out how we move forward and help spread the word of peace and get people to actively advocate for peace.
There we go. It's a beautiful thing. If you care to, you're welcome to write me a little thing, and I'll be happy to share it on the stage as well at the event. Let me ask you now, Dr. Bunceman, what does peace mean to you? Are you there?
Yes, forgive me, I'm thinking.
Okay.
I didn't want to just off the top of my head very quickly without thinking.
Sure. Take your time.
I just spent yesterday morning with my youngest granddaughter at Grandparents' Day at her preschool. She's 4 years old.
Oh,
and
my God.
Believe it or not, one of the topics was that the children shared with us was peace and love. That was the theme. And that they breathe in peace and breathe out love. And that it's always so peaceful when they spend time with their grandparents. You know, and that, you know, that same day in the afternoon, I'm talking with Al and indirectly with you about peace and a peace concert. Everybody deserves the right to live in peace and in harmony and in safety. And when they do, love flourishes. I don't understand why anybody would want to live in a world that isn't peaceful. On short notice, that's the best I can do.
I get it. Grandpa Paul says, I couldn't have said anything more than what you just said. Actually, if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to say what you just said to the audience on Saturday. I will, if that's okay with you. I don't think
Yes.
you could say anything more important. I mean, I'm crying inside here, maybe even outside. Okay, Dr. Bunceman, I really appreciate the time and the co-producing, co-sponsoring, co-everything with you on our Peace Day event. So. Thank you very much, and may peace be on earth. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.